My Powerful CEO Husband. Chapter 101, Apologizing on Bended Knee. Threatening her with Uncle Evans. For so many years, Uncle Evans is the only one in the Evans family who has treated her well. Xaviera has mentioned a few times for him to leave the filthy Evans family, but he refuses. She doesn't quite understand but knows that Uncle Evans has a special bond with the family. If he is driven away by Derek Evans. Xaviera's voice gradually grew colder. All right, I'll arrive at the specified time in half an hour. Half an hour later, Xaviera approached Derek Evans' office door, and the fawning voice of Derek Evans came from inside. Mr. Coriel, it's all a misunderstanding. I'll have Xaviera come over and apologize to you right away. Would you like coffee or tea? I'll have my secretary prepare it right away. Boris Coriel sneered, waving his hand to interrupt words. I wouldn't dare drink Mr. Evans' coffee. Mr. Evans raised a good daughter, daring to scheme against our Coriel family. Now you are inheriting the responsibility, and this collaboration is no longer possible. Derek Evans was anxious. It's not like that, Mr. Coriel. Xaviera ran away from home a long time ago. What she does has nothing to do with our Evans family. You shouldn't make us all pay for it. Didn't you want Xaviera to apologize to you? She'll be here soon. Boris Coriel was somewhat satisfied with Derek Evans' submissive attitude. He tapped on the table and said, didn't Mr. Evans just say that Xaviera has nothing to do with your family? Then how can you make her come here and apologize to me? Derek Evans straightened his back. Xaviera's last name is Evans, and I am her father. She has to listen to me for the rest of her life. So Mr. Coriel, don't worry. When Xaviera arrives, you can punish her however you see fit. Her life or death depends on your will, as long as it appeases your anger, anything goes. Boris Coriel nodded slightly and hinted, so Mr. Evans, you also think that Xaviera is the one at fault this time and should be punished accordingly. Before Derek could open his mouth, Rose Campbell, who was standing to the side, stepped forward. Mr. Coriel, it's all Xaviera's fault. That girl has always been so stubborn, never compromising. Miss Coriel was only joking and didn't really mean to frame her. Unexpectedly, Xaviera doesn't know restraint and turns a small joke into a big deal like this. It's really ignorant of her. Boris Coriel agreed with Rose Camel's words. That's right, Mrs. Evans is our right. Rose Campbell was ecstatic when she heard Mrs. Evans, not concealing her excitement. She was a mistress who moved up in the world, and many people in the social circle looked down on her. On the surface, they all called her Mrs. Campbell, but she knew that the real upper-class circles only recognized the original wife, Mrs. Evans. Mr. Coriel's recognition of her as Mrs. Evans could be said to be a validation of her identity. Since you all think that Xaviera is at fault, I, as an elder, can't possibly hold a grudge against a junior. Here's what I propose: you send Xaviera abroad, and we'll put an end to this matter, and our family's cooperation can continue. Rose couldn't wait for Xaviera to get lost. Since the last incident, Xaviera's personality type changed dramatically, and Rose had a bad premonition. She felt that Xaviera couldn't be controlled anymore. Now that Boris Coryell actively proposed to send Xaviera abroad, it exactly matched her intentions, Mr. Coryell, you're right. Xaviera is just too spoiled by us, she doesn't know the height of the sky. Rest assured, we will definitely send her abroad for education. At this moment, Xaviera pushed open the door and entered. Rose's face still had a fawning smile, but upon hearing the sound from behind, she turned around and her smile quickly faded. Xaviera, you're here. Seeing Xaviera, Boris Coryell snorted coldly, Mr. and Mrs. Evans should know what to do, right? Derek Evans nodded, Xaviera, you offended Miss Coryell and brought disaster to the Evans family. I've already discussed with your mom, and we'll send you abroad tomorrow. Xaviera leaned lazily against the doorframe, discussed with my mom? When did you discuss it? My mom has been dead for so many years. Did she come to you in a dream, or did you go to find her? Derek Evans' face changed, Xaviera. Stop acting nonchalant. Is this how the Evans family educated you? As a member of the Evans family, you should know better than to contribute to the company's problems. Instead, you cause trouble everywhere, and you're unrepentant. Xaviera casually picked at her ear, cause trouble? What trouble did I cause? Are you trying to play dumb with me? You think we don't know how you often did Miss Coryell? You made a scene at the Coryell's banquet, embarrassing Mrs. Coryell. That's the big trouble you caused. Mr. Coryell is right here, you bet Er kneel down and apologize. Chapter 102, The Daughter You Raised Is As Stupid As a Pig. Xaviera Evans chuckled lightly with ease, is it my fault that Vita Coryell was shameless? She tried to plot a guy NST people but it backfired on her. That's her folly and has nothing to do with Emmy. I'm not going to take the blame for that. At the atmosphere immediately became stagnant. Boris Coryell warned with a dark look, Xaviera, don't push your luck. I am here today as a favor to Tehe Evans family. Kneel down and apologize, then leave the country obediently, and I will spare the Evans family. But if you don't cooperate, at that moment, a group of black-clad bodyguards broke into the room, surrounding Xaviera, giving the feeling that they could send her to hell at the slight shake of her head. Seeing this, Derek Evans' face changed. Of course, he wasn't worried about Xaviera's safety. His concern was that if a fight broke out here, it would certainly damage the office items, and there might even be blood everywhere. That would be extremely inauspicious. Killing Xaviera would be fine, but they couldn't destroy his office. Every knick-knack here was real gold and silver, positioned by the guidance of a master, they couldn't be ruined. At this thought, Derek furrowed his brows heavily, Xaviera, what are you standing around for? Didn't you hear what Mr. Coryell said? Kneel down immediately. Xaviera stood still. Boris sneered, Mr. Evans, it seems that the situation isn't quite as you described. Your daughter doesn't seem to listen to you. Sinny, that's the case, Mr. Evans, I trust you wouldn't mind if I discipline her a bit. Derek immediately bent and replied, Please, Mr. Coryell, do as you wish. Even if Zavira is beaten to death, she deserves it. Hearing what Derek said, the expression on Boris' face became even colder. A daughter abandoned by the Evans family dared to compete with Vita for Mrs. Mamet's position? He raised his hand and told his bodyguards, Didn't you hear Mr. Evans' words? Miss Evans is too stubborn. Mr. Evans is reluctant to discipline her, so we will have to lend a hand. As his words fell, the bodyguards all started to move towards Zavira. At this moment, a nonchalant male voice floated in from outside, Mr. Coryell is making quite a show. Everyone was stunned and simultaneously looked towards the door. Steve Price and Albert Sullivan walked in. There was a faint laughter in Steve's eyes. It seems that Mr. Coryell doesn't take Mr. Caleb Mamet's words seriously. Boris' face changed drastically. He remembered Sir Coryell's reaction when he heard Caleb Mamet's words, and was not sure what to do. Employees who were peeking outside whispered to each other, Who are these two men? They seem to have a lot of clout. The man in the white suit, who looks flippant, is Albert Sullivan. He's the disciple of some magnate and the current boss and designer of a top luxury brand. He's also the successor to the Sullivan family, a man rumored to inherit billions if he doesn't do his job properly. The other man wearing silver-rimmed glasses is Steve Price. Although he is only an assistant, he is the SPE Chael assistant to Caleb Mamet, the current head of the Mamet family. As his right hand man, he manages most of the Mamet family's holdings. In many ways, HE is Caleb Mamet's spokesperson. Caleb Mamet has a very high status in Lebanon, and he is known to everyone. The surrounding people went silent as they heard his name, realizing that thin GS had escalated quite a bit since his spokesperson had even come. Derek Evans' eyes twitched. He was influential in Lebanon and had interacted with Steve Price before. He knew more about Steve's status than ordinary employees. He didn't know why Steve showed up here, but it must have something to do with Zavira. Derek gave Zavira a fierce glare, wishing he could strangle this sinister girl to death. Hiding his changing expressions, Derek eventually walked over to Steve Price and Albert Sullivan with trembling legs, asking humbly, Mr. Sullivan, Special Assistant Price, to what do we owe this surprise visit? Just dropping by to check. Steve's gaze moved past Derek and landed on Boris. After all, if we hadn't come to check, we wouldn't have known that Mr. Coryell has been deceiving us behind our back, going against Mr. Caleb Mamet's intention. Mr. Coryell, do you think I am mistaken, or am I missing something? As I recall, Mr. Caleb Mamet asked Sir Coryell to have Miss Coryell apologize to Miss Evans within a day. Having said this, Steve winked at Zavira out of everyone else's sight, assuring his mistress to put her mind at ease and leave the rest to him. Zavira silently drew up her lips in response. Steve gathered his composure in an instant and became serious again. So, see old Mr. Coryell, please explain what's happening here? Why are you pressuring Miss Evans to apologize? And why are you planning to use force? Miss Coryell's plot against Ezra Pig Evans not going successful, but backfiring, is a clear demonstration of your C. Oriel family's feeble-minded upbringing. Miss Evans is just an innocent victim. Since when has a 6 Tim had to apologize to the instigator? Chapter 103, The Mad Dog That Bites. People outside the door were taken aback upon hearing this. These employees, under the brainwashing of Derek, Rose Campbell, and Maggie Evans, all considered Xaviera Evans, the miss who came back from the coup entry side, as a good, for nothing, always causing havoc, leaving Derek to clean up after her. So whenever they found out that the Coryell Corporation was going to terminate the cooperation with their company due to Xaviera, they cursed Xaviera, the sinister guy, one by one. But now, what does Steve Price's words mean? Xaviera is innocent? She's the victim. Did Miss Coryell commit misdeeds and shift the blame to others instead? If the reality is as such. The employees glanced at the bodyguard surrounding NG Xaviera. They remember Boris Coryell just claimed with a righteous face that he is teaching the Evans family's daughter a lesson. He can't even raise his own daughter properly, yet he is offering to discipline other people's daughters. Boris Coryell stared with a cold face and corrected, "Special Assistant Price, you can't say things like that. Xaviera ruined our banquet." Steve Price nodded understandingly, "I see. You, the Coryells, organized a Lucy banquet to frame Miss Evans. On the surface, it was a banquet. In reality, it was a trap. When your plan to frame her failed, you blamed it on Xaviera for ruining your banquet, and if the trap was successful, she would be sent to prison. So no matter what, it seems like you were planning to take advantage." Steve continued, "Now that Miss Xaviera Evans didn't get framed by Miss Coryell obediently, you said that she ruined your banquet and you're forcing her to apologize and even sent her abroad. Regardless of how roundabout your WIs were, fundament asterisk LLY, it's still the same. You're trying to get rid of Xaviera, isn't it? Special Assistant Price." Boris Coryell couldn't help but raise his voice, "Wach your words." "Well," Steve Price chuckled, "what's wrong? Upset because I've hit a nerve." Boris Coryell was gasping for air infuriatedly, indeed he was planning that. "What's wrong with it? The only wrong thing is that Xaviera shamelessly stole Vita's place. His daughter was the most noble woman in this world, she should be married to the most outstanding man, and it seemed that she was respecting her when she acted against Xaviera. Xaviera, this shameless woman should just let herself get framed obediently. Vita's not to blame, their Vita has never done anything wrong ever." The atmosphere was deadlocked for a moment. Derek Evans saw the confrontation between both parties, with severe anxiety building in his mind. Both parties were people he couldn't afford to offend, be it Boris Coryell or Steve Price. If either of them were enraged, that would spell disaster for the minor Evans group. "Why does Xaviera, this sinister being, always provoke one person after another? How should he solve this now? Damn it, if he knew things would turn out this way, he should have never brought Xaviera back, it would have. C's been better to let her die outside." Derek Evans gritted his teeth and tried to give a pleasing smile, "Special Assistant Price, you. You mistakenly took it the wrong way. Mr. Coryell is here not to pick a fight, but to apologize. I've accepted his apology on behalf of Xavier A. Plus, I think that not all the blame of the incident lies with Miss Coryell. If Xavier hadn't done anything that irritated Miss Coryell, Miss Coryell wouldn't have acted against her. So when you guys came in, Xavier also wanted to apologize to Mr. Coryell, admitting that she was impulsive that day and had not considered the Coryell family's face. We are living harmoniously, very harmoniously, does Mr. Evans even prepare his lies? Steve Price scoffed. Xavier's personality was not one that apologizes. Not to mention, she never did anything wrong this time, so there's no way she would apologize. Mr. Evans, although you've lived longer and are older than I am, perhaps you haven't heard of a saying, that a mad dog will bite people without thinking. Steve Price smiled and said, so Miss Coryell's framing of Miss Xavier Evans was not because Xavier offended her, it was because Miss Coryell herself is a nut. A mad dog that bites anyone. Furthermore, after the incident happened, Mr. Evans didn't bother to understand the truth or ask whether his daughter was wronged. He simply took someone else's words and sent his own daughter to apologize, even watched as someone else raised their hand against his own daughter. Mr. Evans certainly is a good father. Steve Price paused for a moment before acting surprised. Oh, I forgot that Xavier Evans, a legitimate daughter, is in the way of your daughter with your mistress. You can't wait to get rid of Xaviera, right? You want to inherit the wealth left by Xaviera Evans' mother? Once Xaviera Evans dies, the Evans group will belong to you fully. As he continued speaking, Derek Evans' expression grew uglier. By the time he finished, Derek's face had turned a deathly shade, but he didn't dare to refute loudly. He could only shoot fiery glares at him. Chapter 104, Our Cooperation Ends Here. The employees outside the door pricked up their ears for gossip. As they whispered among themselves, the news spread like wildfire through the office, not long before everyone in the company knew about it. Point one, Rose Camel's face changed multiple times. She was no fool. Even though she didn't know what the connection was between the Coryell and Evans families and the Mamet family, every word Steve Price said was defending Xavier Evans. Why was he helping Xavier? It made no sense. How could someone like Xavier be involved with Steve Price? Special Assistant Price, you may be unaware, but Xavier has a bad track record and has done many wrong things. This time, it must be her fault as well. Steve Price looked indifferent. Although I'm not a very influential figure, I'm not just someone any stray cat or dog can talk to. Mrs. Campbell, as an illegitimate mistress unable to show her face in public, you'd better stay away from me and avoid polluting the air around me. Rose Camel's face turned green and white. The words illegitimate mistress unable to show her face in public were like grinding her dignity into the ground. Steve Price took a step back, as if unwilling to be tainted by even the slightest scent of Rose Campbell. His actions caused Rose to collapse, unable to even maintain her smile. It was only when Derek Evans pushed her that she managed to calm down and refrained from saying anything inappropriate. Steve Price turned to Boris Coryell, Since Mr. Coryell hasn't kept his promise, I regret to inform you that our cooperation with the Coryell family will end here. As soon as the words were spoken, Boris Coryell's phone rang. Nobody knew what was said on the other end, but Boris's face drastically changed. After giving Xavira a fierce glare, he hurriedly left. Derek Evans tried to call out to him, but Boris paid no attention. As Derek watched Boris disappearing in the distance, he swayed on the spot. Albert Sullivan had come to this place after hearing the news that Derek Evans had brought Xavira back, fearing that she would be bullied. He hadn't expected to bump into Steve Price downstairs. Now that everything was resolved, he replied with a slight smile, "Mr. Evans, I really can't agree with your attitude towards handling this matter, so I think there is no need for our partnership to continue." Derek Evans was taken aback. "Mr. Sullivan," Albert Sullivan interrupted, "no need for explanations. I have some grievances with the Coryell family." "Mr. Evans, you're helping the Coryells to frame your own daughter, making me suspicious that if a conflict arises between my family and the Coryells, you'll definitely help the Sea Orioles against me. We're all businessmen. Profit comes first. So, Mr. Evans, I'll take my leave." "Mr. Sullivan, it's a misunderstanding, all just a misunderstanding." Derek Evans couldn't believe that Albert Sullivan held a grudge against the Coryells. What he was going on? He stumbled out after Sullivan, following the Coryell family's TH read to cancel their important collaboration if Xavira didn't apologize. Now that they'd lost so much face, collaboration was doomed. With the Coryell's issue unresolved and Albert Sullivan wanting to withdraw his investment and dissolve their partnership, Derek's head was spinning. He couldn't understand why. All the blame went to Xavira. It was all Xavira's fault. Everything. If Xavira had just let herself be framed by Miss Coryell and accepted responsibility for everything that happened at the banquet, there wouldn't be so many problems now. Rose Campbell shared the same thought. Many things began with Xavira. With that thought in mind, she couldn't help but look at Xavira. Since Albert Sullivan and Steve Price's arrival, Xavira had remained silent. Her face was as beautiful as ever, inciting jealousy. However, for some reason, Rose felt that something was different now. The Xavira standing there now was beyond their control. No. How could it be? Xavira, a country bumpkin freshly arrived from the countryside, who had intentionally been made a loser without ambition by her over the years, how could she have the ability to play everyone in circles? It must be her imagination. Xavira was still the same Xavira, a puppet play D at her whim. After Steve Price left with Xavira, Derek Evans angrily slammed the table, "This damn jinx. Sinister guy." Rose Campbell wiped her tears and pretended to be heartbroken, "Derek. There's one thing I can't understand. You said that Xavira doesn't have a good reputation in the upper class circles and has not been well received. So why did Special Assistant Price stand in Xavira's side this time? And Mr. Sullivan too, it seems that their relationship with Xavira is quite good." Derek Evans slowly calmed down, "Right, you're not wrong. We know Xavira's reputation all too well. Both Steve Price and Albert Sullivan are exceptional figures. Why would they help Zaviera? Chapter 105, It's Good Enough If the Wife Doesn't Bully Them. Rose Campbell sighed, I don't know. I can't figure it out either. But I do know that if it was Mag instead of Zaviera, she definitely wouldn't have caused any tea rubble. Our Mag is so well behaved. When she was Miss Evans, she never caused any trouble for us, and D. her reputation outside was great. One as they mentioned Mag Evans, Derek Evans's eyes lit up, I got it. These two know that Miss Evans is well behaved, but they don't know that the current Miss Evans is not the original Annie. They must have mistaken Zaviera for Mag. Otherwise, why would these TWO help Zaviera? Even if Mr. Sullivan let it slide, Special Assistant Price is from the Mamet family. Since Mag is the future granddaughter, in law of the Mamet family, Steve Price must have thought that it was Mag who got into trouble this time, so he rushed to help her. This is all Zaviera's scheme. She must have told Special Assistant Price that she is more Mamet's than fiancé. She is indeed Moore's fiancé in name, and the wedding candidates of both families have not been changed yet. After investigating, Special Assistant Price discovered that what Zaviera said was true, so he spared no effort to help her. This wicked girl, she dared to take advantage of Mag and usurp her position. Rose hadn't expected Derek to think of this as soon as she mentioned it. She lowered her eyes and said bitterly, I don't ask for much now. I just hope that Zaviera can let Moore go. If Mag doesn't want anything from the Evans family, then fine. But without Moore, I'm afraid Mag won't be able to live. Derek hugged her gently, don't worry, Mag is our daughter. Everything she has won't be taken away by others. In a few days, I'll have Mag meet these two magnates and make things clear. From now on, our Evans family's resources will only get better and better, and we'll never be trampled on by anyone. The marriage between the Evans and Mamet families was set in stone and will absolutely not be cancelled. Although this was all the credit of Zaviera's mother, she had already died. The things left behind by the dead belonged to them, and they could dispose of them as they wished. Now they wanted Mag to replace Zaviera and marry into the Mamet family, and complete the wedding with Moore. Moore and Mag got along very well, and if they changed the marriage partner to Zaviera, Moore might even be repulsed. So in order not to turn the Evans and Mamet families against each other, They had no choice but to send Mag. Zaviera followed Steve Price out, and suddenly thought of something. You're quite powerful as a special assistant in front of others, huh? As an assistant, he could intimidate the president of the Evans group like that. Steve Price touched his nose. What you don't know, miss, is that I retired from the military. Many people used to call me Deputy Officer Price. After following Mr. Caleb Mamet, they started calling me Deputy Officer Price again. But I think I've retired now, so it's not so good to continue using TH at title, so they started calling me Special Assistant Price. Of course, although the title had changed, they didn't forget Steve's previous identity, and naturally treated him with respect. In addition, with Caleb Mamet's backing, they dared not offend him. Zaviera raised an eyebrow, I see. Steve Price couldn't figure out what Zaviera's expression meant, and could only ask cautiously, "Miss, shall we go home now?" Xaviera nodded. After calling the driver to send Xaviera back to the car, Steve hesitantly called Caleb, "Mr. Caleb, just now, Miss seemed to think that the power I have as a special assistant is too great. So, I casually mentioned my previous identity. Bullet and T. Miss had such a strange reaction. Could she have discovered something? He only mentioned that he was a deputy officer. Isn't it normal for a soldier WHO has enlisted to become a deputy officer? But why did Miss look like that at THE time? She seemed to have seen through everything, but just didn't say it. It made him very uneasy." Caleb Mamet tapped his finger lightly. "Was she bullied at the Evans Group?" Steve Price. "Mr. Caleb, I'm talking about serious matters." Caleb furrowed his brow, impatiently repeating, "I'm asking you, did she get bullied or not?" Steve Price, his silence was mistaken for an affirmative answer, and Caleb's voice suddenly escalated, "You actually let her be bullied by the Evans family? Did your abilities degenerate after not using them for so long? Are you getting too old to do anything and want to retire?" Steve Price, who was not even in his 30s yet, was said to be old. He just answered a little later, "Why did Mr. Caleb have to bury him like this?" No w that he thought about it, Miss was so smart that whatever Caleb wanted to conceal about his identity would probably be discovered soon enough. He had called to remind him so that his boss's fake identity wouldn't be exposed. But now it seemed that he had not even. Chapter 106, Please Let Me Go. Since that's the case, he decided not to interfere any further. After all, it wouldn't be him who would be embarrassed when everything was revealed. Steve Price hummed in annoyance, "No, the madam hasn't been bullied. Considering the Evans family, it's already nice that the madam didn't bully the M." Caleb Mamet paused and asked, "After you helped her resolve the issue, did she say anything to you?" Steve Price nodded, "Yeah, the madam is very polite, she even thanked me." Caleb Mamet squinted his eyes, "Thanking you? Just you?" Steve Price. What else? He was the one who handled the matter, if not for him, who should she thank? Did she have to thank the Evans family for stirring up trouble themselves? "I'm the one who asked you to help her, shouldn't she be thanking me as well? Or did you never tell her that I'm the one who made you go and support her?" Steve Price, are you trying to get your salary deducted again? Steve Price. Deducting salary, that's all he ever thinks about. Now it seems like the madam was right, Mr. Caleb Mamet is indeed a scumbag. By the way, Mr. Caleb Mamet, I heard that a SAC teacher from the school has a grudge against the madam and wants to cause her trouble. Do you think I should go and handle it? Caleb Mamet's fingers paused, and he glanced at the itinerary. He deliberated why had Steve Price go to support her while he couldn't leave the company due to work, yet she only thanked Steve Price and not him. "I don't want to help those who don't thank me." Caleb Mamet spoke at a leisurely pace, "However, I see that I'm scheduled to inspect Lebanon University soon. You can check when that Pearson plans to target Xaviera Evans, and then report back to me." Steve Price, 2/6 if he wants to support the madam, Just say it directly, who is he trying to deceive? As a board member of Lebanon University, he didn't show up once a year. But now that the madam is teaching at Lebanon University, look how many times he's visiting, even more than he goes to work. Humph. A few days later, two of the Evans family's joint projects were destroyed, landing NG them in a difficult situation. Derek Evans sought help everywhere, and more Mamet, as their future son-in-law, also helped OUL. However, their efforts didn't seem to yield any results. Xaviera Evans touched the gun in her bag, recalling what Steve Price had said about him being a former deputy officer, and a smile curled at the corner of her lips. She had searched on the dark web, and there was no one named Steve Price among all the retired deputy officers. She guessed that Steve Price must have thought she wouldn't understand and that it wouldn't matter if he told her about being a deputy officer. However, he probably didn't expect that not only did she understand, but she also knew a lot. The fact that she couldn't find any information about Steve Price's identity now meant that his background was mysterious enough, and such a mysterious person willingly stayed by KLB Mamet's side as his assistant. Moreover, this modified pistol, for a normal prominent family, it would be difficult to get a gun, let alone a modified and perfect one like this. KLB Mamet casually handed her the modified gun, making her feel like she was receiving a cabbage. From this perspective, it could only mean that such a modified gun was not important or worth mentioning to KLB Mamet. So, KLB Mamet's identity is quite interesting. What kind of identity would a man who can casually give away a pistol have? Xaviera Evans narrowed her eyes, suddenly finding her temporary marriage partner very intriguing. At that moment, a panicked voice sounded not far away. Ah! Who is this? Why are they covered in injuries? As Xaviera Evans reached the school gate and heard the voice, she was about to turn her head when a blood-soaked, crazed woman suddenly rushed towards her. "Miss Evans, please spare me. I'm still young, I don't want to lose my job. I have elderly and young family members to take care of, you can't do this to me." Xaviera Evans frowned. "Who is this person?" From a distance, a student scratched their head in confusion. "This person seems to be a teacher from the design department. What happened to her?" "I don't know, why is she asking Xaviera Evans to spare her? Did Xaviera Evans do something to her?" The students around them got excited instantly. Ever since Xaviera Evans came to Lebanon University, there had been constant incidents. They enjoyed watching the drama unfold, which added fun to their dull and boring school life. Xaviera Evans' path was blocked. She looked at the woman covered in blood whose face she couldn't discern and tried her best to search for related information about her in her mind, but unfortunately, she found none. "Miss Evans, I'm sorry, I'm truly sorry. I shouldn't have believed the rumors on the forum and badmouthed you behind your back. I apologize, and I can apologize for the negative impact I've caused you. Please be merciful and let me go, all right? I really can't afford to lose this job." Chapter 107, I have the elderly above and the young below. "No, wait, who are you? Do I know you?" Xaviera Evans took a step back, increasing the distance between them. "Sami students just said that you are a teacher in the design department. Which teacher are you?" I am called Faye White. The woman stuttered, last time, during Ms. Evans' forum discussion on sponsorships, I casually made some comments without knowing the full situation. The school said that I am not fit to be a teacher and wanted to fire me. Ms. Evans, I know your family is well off and you don't understand the struggles of us insignificant people, but I real why can't lose this job. If I lose it, I might as well die. Many people were involved in the forum incident, and Faye White was one of them. However, Zaviera was not informed about the handling of the matter by Gia Byrom and Caleb Mamet. Upon hearing Faye White's words, Zaviera became even more puzzled. It had been quite some time since the incident, why was she just seeking trouble now? Seeing Zaviera not responding, Faye White suddenly staggered and knelt down, covering her face and crying loudly, "Zaviera, I beg you like this and you still won't forgive me. What do you want? Just because I said a few words about you, do you want to force me to death? I have elderly parents and young children. I'm not like you, a rich young lady who has never touched spring water. I really need this job. I promise I will never speak recklessly again. Please let it go, Juice T. Leave me a chance to live, I will work like an ox and a horse to repay you in my next life." The students looked at each other, what's going on? Teachers who can work at Lebanon University are probably very capable, right? Even if they get fired from Lebanon University, it wouldn't be impossible for them to find another job. Unless Zaviera Evans deliberately took revenge and didn't let her find a job. And even attacked her. I have the elderly above and the young below physically. Both meant *L and physical torture. No wonder Miss White looks so miserable. She probably couldn't take the retaliation and had to come to beg Zaviera Evans for mercy. Faye White heard the students' words and cried even harder. She crawled to Xavier's feet on her knees and kowtowed, "Miss Evans, saving a life is better than building a 7-story high pagoda. I am kowtowing to you, please let me go. Please let me go, okay?" Under these circumstances, the students didn't know what to do either. Having never experienced the hardships of life, their simple campus environment allowed their minds to stay innocent. Although Faye White was at fault, Xavier's actions against her seemed justified. However, they felt that Xavier's punishment was a bit excessive in their hearts. After all, the forum incident didn't cause Xavier too much trouble, yet she wanted Faye White's life. At this moment, someone hurried over from outside the crowd. Everyone turned to look, only to see Mag Evans with tears slowly rolling down her cheeks. Blow sight of such a beautiful woman crying made many people feel sorry for her. Mag Evans squatted down beside Faye White, biting her lip and pleading, "Sis, it's been so long since the forum incident, could you please forgive Miss White?" She didn't know the truth at the time, she just casually expressed her opinion. "There's no need for you to be so merciless. Now she has no job and no place to live, and she can't even guarantee her own safety. Sis, she has already apologized to you, can you let her go? The people you sent have taught her a big lesson, and she won't make the same mistake again. Please call them off." Although Mag Evans had caused some scandals before, people were quite forgiving towards beautiful things and tended to quickly forget her wrongdoings, only seeing her good side. Now that Mag Evans stood with Faye White and spoke in a pleading voice about how hard her days had been, mentioning that she was beaten by someone, all of a sudden, everyone took Mag Evans' side, thinking that Xaviera's methods were too cruel. People tend to sympathize with the weak, and when the punishment that Faye White received did not match her wrongdoings, they felt it was unfair. Xaviera, why don't you let Miss White go? She's pretty miserable now. Yes, you didn't even recognize her when she first appeared, so she probably didn't speak those words to your face, just making some complaints behind your back. For a few complaints, she lost her job, her home, and was even threatened and beaten. That's really going too far. Now she's apologized to you, can't you call off the people you sent after her? Can you rich young ladies not care about ordinary people's lives? If you continue to act this way, even THU if you're a school teacher, I will call the police. Chapter 108, Then Kneel Down. Mag Evans helped Faye White up and gently comforted her. Miss White, please stand up first. I'll persuade my sister to forgive you. Now let's go to the infirmary to treat your wounds, okay? Faye White shook off her hand with a determined look on her face. If Miss Eva N.S. doesn't forgive me, I won't stand up. Xaviera Evans finally understood the situation. These two were in cahoots to set her up, wanting to morally bind her? She laughed lightly, her voice containing indifference. Well, if you don't want to stand up, just keep kneeling. There was a deathly silence at the school entrance. No one had expected Xaviera Evans to say such a thing. After a brief moment of shock, Faye White cried out and yelled, "Do you indeed want to push me to my death? You're indifferent even when you see me. You're cold-blooded, heartless, and care nothing for human life, right?" Xaviera Evans frowned. This is a society ruled by law. When speaking, we need to value evidence. Whoever's trying to kill you, go trouble them instead. If all else fails, you can call the police. You get beaten and don't go to the police, but come to me instead. What kind of reasoning is that? Faye White's face turned red with anger. Of course, I come to you because all this is your fault. If it weren't for you, I wouldn't be so miserable. The surrounding students also came to their senses and joined Faye White in condemning Xaviera Evans. Can't you feel anything when you see a living person kneeling before you? It's just a word of forgiveness. What's so hard about saying it? Exactly, is forgiveness more important than a person's life? Just by saying an simple word, you could save a life. Or is a person's life of less value than a single sentence in your eyes? Today, I've truly seen some things. So this is the world v me, so I have to kill you, of the rich? You offend 2/6 Mag. Evans also covered her lips, looking at Xaviera Evans in disbelief. Sister, how could you become like this? Miss White is wrong, but she has already realized her mistakes. What's wrong with being magnanimous and forgiving her? Our parents taught us that nothing is more important than life. Have you ever gotten their teachings? Xaviera Evans looked up coldly. Didn't your parents teach you not to meddle in other people's affairs? Especially when you don't know the whole backstory. She glanced at the surrounding students and continued, "The school teaches you knowledge so you can know right from wrong and have a sense of chamois, not so you can judge others freely just because you have a voice. The surrounding students glared at her angrily. Xaviera Evans suddenly laughed, "Why am I wasting my breath with you all? How about this?" She pointed to a girl outside the crowd who was dressed quite well. "Given your clothing, your family should be average, but I just saw you getting out of a black Mercedes. From your family's financial situation, you shouldn't be able to afford that car, so it means you're being kept 208 Chanter 108, the nest down by someone, right?" The students quickly turned their heads, their gaze focusing on the girl whose face turned red. "Bullshit, you're slandering me. You're spreading rumors." Xaviera Evans's eyes were indifferent. "Oh, then I was wrong. I'm sorry." "What's the use of saying sorry? Do you know how powerful rumors can be? Do you have any idea how a casual remark from you might make it impossible for me to stay in school, how the students around me would look at me? Do you know that your casual words could ruin me? And you call yourself a specially appointed teacher at this school? What qualifications do you have to be a teacher?" The girl was furious. After the girl finished, Xaviera Evans feigned surprise. "I've already apologized, isn't that enough? Besides, what you just described hasn't happened yet, so why are you so angry? Shouldn't we be more magnanimous in life?" "You," the girl wanted to retort but suddenly realized that this speech sounded familiar. Wasn't this what they had just said to persuade Xaviera Evans? Xaviera Evans smiled again. "You see, when things happen to you, you refuse to forgive. It's like not knowing the pain of being hit by a plank until it happens to you. When things don't affect you, you can freely judge and criticize others, but when it falls on you, you wish those who insulted you would just die." "Ah, what a bunch of hypocrites." After dealing with the curious students, Xaviera Evans turned her gaze to Mag Evans. "I almost forgot about you, my dear sister. You're pretending to be the good guy here, urging me to forgive Miss White. But have you forgotten that the posts were made by your alt account? You were the one who first led the hateful remarks from the teachers and students towards me. As the chief culprit, what right do you have to accuse me here?" Chapter 109, If You Have a Problem, Ask the Police Uncle. Students who can be admitted to Lebanon University are not STPID. Although Xaviera's words were harsh and her methods too brutal, they finally helped them see the truth and realize that Xaviera was right. One, the forum incident was caused by Mag, but because she had connections, she was not expelled, but only received a warning on the bulletin board. The instigator was still attending classes in the school while a teacher, who was merely complaining, was expelled. How miserable! What kind of logic is this? What's even more amusing is, what face does Mag have to plead on behalf of Faye White? She is the one who should apologize to Faye White the most. Mag didn't expect the gun to be aimed at her so quickly. Facing the scrutiny and criticism of her classmates, her body staggered, and her tears flowed out. "Money, sister, how can you say that about me? I know you've never liked me, thinking that I took your place and stole your identity. I've always wanted to get along with you, but you never gave me a chance. I apologized for this incident a long time ago. The authenticity of that post in the forum has never been proven to be true or false until now. You, upon hearing this, Fay White stood up abruptly. That's right. Zaviera, what are you so proud of? I don't think I said anything wrong back then. You were I indeed provided for. It's you who found your sugar daddy, forcing the school to deal with Mag and forcing the principal to expel me without allowing me to tell the truth. I keep your secret, but you? You go back on your word, wanting to utterly silence me. The man you sent to deal with me already admitted that you are a cuckold. W-ho has many sugar daddies. After they kill me, they can even roll in the sheets with you. You are disgusting. Shameless. The scene suddenly became quiet. Everyone opened their eyes wide, listening to the sound of Fay White's voice cracking. You were indeed provided for. Otherwise, how do you explain that a girl from the countryside like you, not favored by the Evans family, would have such great power? So in the end, Zaviera was indeed provided for. Mag timely wiped away the tears in her eyes. Sister, I know you are not that kind of person. Don't take Miss White's words to heart. But there are too many RU Moors outside. You haven't been home for a long time, and our parents are worried about you. They don't know where you live or what you do every day. Sister, just go home. With the words that Fay White was provided for, and Mag saying that Zaviera hadn't been home for a long time, the two sang in harmony, quickly leading P.E. Opal to misunderstand. Some students whispered, "What should we do? I now suspect that Zaviera is provided for too. After all, it's not something ordinary people could do to disregard the law and beat Miss White like this." And what Mag said? She mentioned that Zaviera hasn't been living at home. A woman from the countryside in Lebanon, where could she go? We haven't seen Zaviera have any close friends, so it's impossible for her to stay at a friend's house. In this case, she might have really gone to live with her sugar daddy, to accompany that old man. Fay White saw the students siding with her again and scolded even louder. Xaviera, you are a teacher at Lebanon University, but rely on old men to provide for you, bullying the teachers and students, domineering. You will not have a good ending. I am kindly reminding you, when you grow old and haggard, that old man will abandon you without hesitation. I know my words might be unpleasant, but they're the truth. You can punish me, I accept it. But if you want to kill me, I absolutely won't agree. Surrounding students chimed in, "Miss White, you are right. It's Zaviera who is wrong. Being a mistress is not a glorious thing, so she is feeling guilty and wants to deal with you, trying to silence you. Little does she know that her actions prove that she is indeed provided for. Miss White, don't be afraid. Zaviera wants to suppress this matter, but we won't go along with it. We will tell everyone that Zaviera is a shameless and vicious mistress provided for by an old man." Someone even told Mag, "Mag, go home and discuss it with your parents, and stop recognizing Zaviera as your daughter. It will damage your reputation. It's so unfair that you are so good while your sister is like this." Mag pursed her lips, seemingly troubled. "Don't say that." Zaviera looked at Mag's exaggerated expressions, snorted coldly, took out her phone, and made a call. "Hello, this is Lebanon University. Someone is causing trouble and spreading rumors here." Chapter 110, Xaviera Evans is ignorant and foolish. White saw her actions, and her heart inexplicably skipped a beat. Xaviera Evans, what have you done?
Nothing much, just called the police, Xaviera said with a grin. After all, unlike some people, I don't actively seek death when I'm in danger. I turn to the police for protection. After saying that, she looked at Faye White with a half smile. Before the police arrive, you should look up online what kind of punishment you'll receive for intentionally spreading rumors about others. It's better to be meant asterisk lly prepared. She scanned the room, memorizing everyone present, then picked up her foot to leave. That's when Xaviera Evans. More Mammoth rushed over after hearing the news, looked at Faye White's appearance, and instantly frowned. Xaviera, what do you really want? It's true that Faye White was wrong for gossiping, but she's pitiful enough already. Can't you just forgive her? Do you have to force her to die before you're satisfied? Have you ever thought about it? If Faye White really dies because of you, how will people at school look at you? Carrying a life on your conscience, could you really sleep peacefully at night? When Xaviera heard his voice, she didn't even stop her footsteps and just kept walking forward. She had no time to waste on these idiots. Mag Evans sighed, more, my sister is getting more and more stubborn. I don't know if it's good or bad. Moore thought that it would definitely get worse, but knowing that Mag had always treated Xaviera as her own sister, saying this would make her very sad. So he patted Mag on the shoulder and comforted her, forget it. She won't listen to us anyway. She'll realize we were right when she suffers the consequences in the future. Some people who recognized Moore Mammoth's identity chimed in obsequiously, exactly, Mr. Mammoth and Miss Mag Evans are obviously trying to help Xaviera, but she's not showing any appreciation. It's no wonder she's from the countryside, with absolutely no taste. That's right, she even dared to call the police just now. It's ridiculous. She doesn't even consider what she's done and still has the nerve to call the police. Is she waiting for them to arrest her on charges of prostitution? Mag leaned on Moore's shoulder and spoke softly, I didn't expect my sister to dare call the police. I guess Miss White's words must have hit too close to home, and she couldn't handle the provocation, so she called the police. Moore nodded in agreement. That's right, Xaviera must have been kept as a mistress. That's why she was so ruthless towards Faye White, who had just spoken the truth. Xaviera was truly malicious, trying to kill someone just to keep them from exposing her secret, and even wanting to call the police to arrest them for exposing her lies in public. She was so ignorant and foolish. When the crowd dispersed, Faye White heaved a sigh of relief. After taking the money according to the agreed location, she grinned. Although her body hurt, it was worth it. Many wounds on her body were just painted on, but some were real, inflicted for the sake of realism. Having wielded power at school for so many years, Faye White's body was delicate, even a touch would hurt, let alone sustaining these injuries. She hobbled forward, bent over. As she was about to leave the school gate, she noticed several pairs of leather shoes in front of her. Then, suddenly, these people split to both sides, and a tall man walked slowly toward her. The man's oppressive aura was overwhelming. Faye White had a bad feeling. She stepped back warily and asked, "Who are you?" At some point, a drizzle began to fall from the sky. Steve Price handed an umbrella to Caleb Mamet, who opened it over his own head. Caleb Mamet stopped three steps away from Faye White, who was unable to retreat further and fell to the ground. She looked up at the beautiful yet terrifying man and tried to speak, but his aura suppressed her, leaving her unably to say a word. Disdainfully, Caleb Mamet glanced at the woman on the ground, looking at her as if she were garbage. "So, you're Faye White." His voice was very cold, cold as the wind in the Arctic. Faye White unconsciously swallowed, in response to the automatic fear. "You, who are you? You don't need to know who I am." Caleb Mamet took the gun handed to him by Steve Price, and pressed the DARK muzzle to Faye White's forehead. "You know what? The last time you talked bad about Zaviera, I wanted to just bang and shoot you." After that, he admired Faye White's terrified expression for a moment before shaking his head regretfully, but that woman looked tough and had a good private nature, simple and kind-hearted, so I reluctantly spared your life. "But why don't people just cherish their lives?" Faye White was already in shock, her pupils dilated in fear, her face frozen in a st-pid expression. Steve Price approached and pushed his glasses up, smiling as he looked at the box tightly clutched in Faye White's arms. "This is the money you received, right? From Rose Campbell? $100,000 for your life. I have to say, your LFA is quite expensive.